Welcome to Paddling Adventures Radio. I'm Sean Rowley, and with me is Derek Spesh.
Hello.
What's going on, Derek?
I was so looking forward to winter, and suddenly I'm over it.
Was it the icy bits?
Yeah, might have been the icy bits.
The non-snowing, rainy, icy bits?
Yeah,
the granulated...
Yeah, the hard snow.
Frozen rain stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm done. Well, we have reached the midpoint between, was it winter solstice and summer equinox or spring equinox?
Oh, yeah. March 22nd? No.
We're getting closer.
June 22nd. So December 22nd, March 22nd, June 22nd, and September 22nd. Did I get them all right?
Sure.
Or am I one day off on each one? Is it 21st?
I'm not telling.
I don't know.
I refuse to tell you.
I don't know.
You want to Google that? Is that your final answer?
I'm within 24 hours.
Give or take a day. Nerd.
But it is nice to see. So as you come into the winter equinox, and it's like, pardon me. So you're coming into it, and it's like, oh, it's getting dark so early, and you're begging for the time change, and now you're slowly getting lighter and lighter as it gets.
We've passed that mark officially,
and eventually you'll be excited because it's like 10 o'clock at night and it's light out, and
because you're driving into work and the sun is just blaring in your eyes.
Exactly,
you can't see a thing.
Yeah.
It's off. And then when you go home at night, it's going down right in your eyes. You can't see a thing.
Yeah.
I like the time of year when you can get home from work, throw the canoe or kayak on your truck, and then go down for a couple of hours of paddling.
Yeah.
Those are that's the good time. Mm-hmm. It should be that time of year all year round. Yeah.
We were close. You said round. I said long.
All year round. Because the wheel's a circle. If it was a long year, then that means there's an end to it.
Yeah.
Your year ends.
Mm-hmm.
But my years just keep going around and around forever. Means I'm going to live longer. It's my theory, and you're welcome to it.
How? It might be a mistake to ask the question, but how do flat earthers explain seasons?
I don't know. They buy them at the store, put them on their meat, throw them in the barbecue. It's seasoned.
You know what I mean?
Just happens. I'm just curious. It just happens.
Yeah, just happens. Yeah.
Right?
It's controlled.
I believe in the flat moon.
The flat
moon. Have you ever seen the backside of the moon?
From like photography.
NASA, are you sure it's real?
What do you mean real?
Real photography of the backside of the moon? Because it's dark over there.
Too many countries have circled the moon and taken video and photos.
Prove it.
Prove that they have?
Yeah.
Why would so many different countries have so many lies?
Because they're all in on it.
It's a logical
thing. It's Big Pharma.
Big Pharma.
I'm just going to mix every conspiracy theory I know into this one.
It's big space.
It's big space. Pharma space. I have no idea, dude. I have no idea. I got better things to worry about.
Yeah. Anywho.
What are we drinking here tonight?
I don't know.
Neon Haze from Amsterdam Brewery. This thing looks like these hazy IPAs. They're weird.
They have, it takes somebody getting used to them, I think.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that they look like murky yellow water.
Yeah. It's not a beer that I could drink more than one of.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice to have one once in a while for something different, but I'll take a Guinness any day of the week. Yeah. Yeah, that's good, though. Hey, I didn't pay for it. That makes it that much better.
There you go. Eventually, I got to make it to, what's the place you want me to go to get beer?
The store? I can't, Captain something or, the Stone Place or?
Yeah, used to be a strip club.
Yeah, the ex-stripper's place.
Mm-hmm. I'll eventually get there. It's winter season, so they don't open until Thursday.
There's a lot of places like that, and it annoys me. You know what? It's been a long weekend. I think I could go out and have a a pint and a bite to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're closed Monday.
We close on Mondays.
Why would you be closed on a Monday?
We close Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
Right? Yeah.
Weirdness. I can understand it. You know, the business is going to be slow that in the wintertime. Not a lot of people go out and do things. And so it's manpower and staffing. And
you know why people don't go out and do things?
Because they're closed.
Because they're all closed. You answered your own question.
Anyway.
But yes, it's... we're heading towards open water season up here.
We're heading towards soft water season.
Mm-hmm. Going to be warm.
My favorite water season.
We're going to be talking about this summer, some paddle plans I got for this summer.
Okay.
A little later on in the show. I saw this article I want to talk about, and it is quite interesting because we've sort of talked about things like this before, but not really, like never got into it wholeheartedly, but. Old technology disappearing.
Oh, yes.
Now, when I was in Frontenac Park with Kevin Callan back in the fall, I always have my compass with me, and I pulled it out to show him because I've had it since, like, forever.
Yeah.
And it actually, because I used it last year, or I guess 2023, and then when I pulled it out to use in 2024, it's dead.
Oh, really?
Not, yeah. I don't know whatever the liquid is inside is finally. But I've had it since I was like in Cub Scouts.
Since like last time the poles flipped?
Sure, why not?
120,000 years ago?
That would have been back in the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
So I've had it that long. And then this past year, it finally died. So we talked about, so I got to go get a new compass.
Yeah.
But we've talked about like, not many people know how to use a map and compass anymore and so old technologies.
Did the needle stop rotating? Is that the problem?
Yeah.
Because they become degaussed, right? And you'd have to remagnetize the needle.
Yeah, I'm just going to go buy a new compass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, but if it's really old.
Well, I'm not throwing it out.
Yeah.
I'll keep it because I do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's going to go in a box to be found by my great-great-grandkids. What's this ancient piece of technology? What do you mean you used to plug a phone into the wall?
there's a science guy I watch on YouTube, and he was playing with compasses and the needles and magnetizing, and he said, "Oh, this is a $10,000 machine." It's like, why do you have a $10,000 machine like that? Anyways, he could take a rare earth magnet, drop it into the hole in the machine, turn it on, and it's no longer magnetized. And then he can pull it out, put it back in again, turn the machine on again, and remagnetize the rare earth magnet. Very wild, very weird. But he can do it with needles and...
But what would be the purpose of that machine?
I have no idea. I think it's to make magnets.
Maybe.
But anyways. Yeah. It just... Because you talked about your tiny little needle there not working properly.
Yeah. No, Trace and I were sitting there up in Killarney. And she had her compass and was showing her how you use it. So I had my compass, she had her compass, and that's right. And then, all of a sudden last year.
Stopped working. You had it next to a speaker or something. Put it in the door of your truck. It was sitting next to the speaker in the door of the truck.
It's always in my life needle. Jacket pocket.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Yep.
It's your cold, dead heart.
So that whenever... If something ever happens to me, I'll be able to pull out my compass, walk around in a circle, and go, yep, I'm lost.
I can confirm that I'm lost.
I can confirm that I am somewhere between the north, the south, the east, and the west.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that area. Anyway, so Paddling Magazine, which we like to read.
Yeah.
Paddlingmag.com for online stuff. Back in 2023, they on their paddling trip guide, they put this article, and it's still relevant. Are maps dying? Mm-hmm. And I've seen a few people post this week.
Oh, okay.
So according to a poll conducted by Ordnance Survey, 3/4 of adults in the United Kingdom can't read a map. Other quarter must be canoe trippers. Begs the question, what do maps look like to people who can't read them?
Hmm. Well, they look the same as everybody else. It's
they just can't read
them. Don't understand it. It's like, well, that's all Greek to me.
Book looks like a book, even though I can't read it. I'm willing to bet what the poll actually meant was that people can't use maps anymore, at least not independently.
Correct.
We still use maps in the sense that we have GPS devices showing us the map and telling us how to get there. But how many people can do the navigating themselves? I think wilderness trippers are probably the very few remaining folks who can.
You must have taken map reading compass use because you were in the Air Force or
Air Cadets. And I did the air crew survival training and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I used to do the same stuff. Like when I was a kid, I used to do orienteering stuff. I don't think they do that stuff anymore, but we used to do orienteering stuff. We used to have to find stuff in the woods and use the stamp to stamp the card that we found it and triangulate locations. I did the same thing when I was in the military. We had to take these nav courses. And I would say I used to be a 9 or 10 out of a map reading guy, but I've lost a few of the skills. I could probably, give me a couple minutes, I could figure it back out mostly if I had to triangulate on a map.
Well, I mean, that's with anything. If you're not using it for 20, 30 years.
The knowledge decays.
Yeah.
But I can figure it out again in a pinch.
Yep. If map reading is a lost art, so must be map dreaming.
Oh.
If you can't read a map, why would you look at a map? And if you aren't looking at maps, how else do you dream up paddling adventures? I know reading trip reports and guidebooks is a popular way to plan trips, but I much prefer to look at maps first. Google Maps is my friend. How many times have I said, I was looking at Google Maps the other day. I mean, even you do it, but you seem to pick out meteors.
I get caught so many times at work. My boss come up, "Oh, what are you looking at now?" And it's like,
location for a new.
I'd be flipping back and forth between normal map mode and satellite map mode and trying to pick out things on a map and looking at a route and this, that, the other thing. And you know, looking at, you know, the satellite view is great for seeing how thin the tree cover is where you're going. And it's like, so if I take this route and I go here and, you know, there's a lot of areas with Canadian Shield that you can see all the striations of the old, Canadian Shield and stuff. So it's fascinating to look at. Mm-hmm. Fascinating.
I love it. Just find, like, you zoom out going, okay, if I am going to be up in this area on Saturday.
Northern Quebec. Right. I want to see if I can get through these crack finger lake things and where's this waterway goes. Oh, look, there's an old gold mine and I want to make. Yeah, exactly.
Just checking out different things or should I even bring my boat? Oh, well, if I'm looking at the map here on the way back, I could hit this river and go do some paddling. And it's a big loop.
Yeah.
So it sort of comes back and around and, you know, that sort of thing. So yeah, the Google Maps, like, it's perfect. It goes on to say, I want to scan maps for myself and see potential routes jump out at me. I want to spend time wondering about that lake or that portage. I want to stitch together a route that makes sense to me. Feels more personal that way. A dream I cooked up and not one served to me. Thanks anyway, Google. It is more magical when I actually get out there, see the places I wondered about, even if those places end up being quite different from how they appeared to be on my map or in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. You like to look at the map and say, oh, we could do this, we could do that, we could go here, we could go there. I bet you that's got that. But until you get there, it's only a guess sometimes, right?
Have you noticed that they've been downgrading Google Maps?
No.
So Google Maps, back a few years ago, you could zoom in a lot, and so you could zoom in and you could look in people's backyards, literally, right? And so you could zoom in and you could see a lot of detail, ground cover and whatnot. But I've noticed in the last 5-8 years or so if you go to a neighborhood now, like I used to show people where I live, here, look, there's my house. And I noticed a few years back that what used to be trees, and I could see it in my backyard and see the boat in my backyard, now it's a cartoonized view of trees, where instead of leaf cover, you see these green blobs, 3D blobs that are almost look like they're downgraded and faked to a tree type thing.
Oh, see, like, I never use it for residential.
I
or cities or like zooming in that far.
But I also, well, see, I use it. There's a, I was just recently, I was trying to look at a route in Algonquin 2 weeks ago, because there's a route we're going to take, and according to the trail data, it's like there's a set of rapids and it's not portageable. You have to run it, and it's only a class one, class two, but it's like, if I'm going to be there in May, it causes me concern, because for one, it's really cold water. I don't have a dry suit. Mm-hmm. If I can't portage around it, it's makes me uncomfortable about doing that route, even though it's class one, class two. But in spring runoff, with a little bergie bits floating along with you, if something bad happens, it's like, I'm going to be freezing my butt.
Mm-hmm.
And so it, I tried to zoom in on that, and I used to be able to get down to that level of zoom on Google Maps, but you can't do it anymore.
Yeah, a lot of that I will agree with. I've been zooming in on some spots, and I just put it down to maybe they just aren't caring enough about the wilderness anymore. To why make the, all spend the money to make it that?
But you used to be able to see it that detailed.
Yeah, but they just don't have the figures. They're just not wasting the time doing that anymore.
And it's not. I mean, you can see the strips of the scans where, depending on the zoom level, it's like, oh, that's a winter view of that lake.
And oh, I hate that.
Then you go, oh, this is a summer view. Yeah. It's like, oh, I got to zoom back out for a clearer summer view. It's like, well, I have to pick the zoom level because of the different satellite scan strips. And so, but I remember it used to be better.
Yeah.
Hmm.
My last canoe trip, I spent a lot of time beforehand wondering about this 2.4-kilometer low-maintenance portage we'd be undertaking in the middle of the fourth day. Turns out the portage was in fine condition. It was a little overgrown in places, but it was easy enough to follow. It was the 50 meters before the portage that was the problem. And see, I've never really used Google Maps for that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I just look at the maps that I've been using that show the routes and go, okay, yeah, well, this is where I need to be.
Yeah.
And I deal with whatever is there when I get there. Right,
I've got a bunch of Jeff's maps saved on my computer at work that I can pull up at a moment's notice. And
light snow year and hot dry spring had left the edges of the pond a thick sludgy gooey mess. We could neither paddle through nor walk on top. To make matters worse, it was starting to rain. We could hear thunder rumbling in the distance. The unfortunate person in the bow of the first canoe, me, quickly deduced through science and firsthand experience that while standing or walking caused you to sink up to your waist, by running you could stay on top of the sludge mostly. It was the part of the trip we talk about the most, but the maps had said nothing about this tricky takeout.
Run fast! Right? I've got a canoe on my head!
As Jeff McMurtry put it in his TED Talk, your opportunities are limited by the knowledge you have. If you don't know something, then you can't do it. And that's pretty good argument for why maps are important. But the other good thing about maps is they don't tell us everything. Because if we did know certain things about a route, we might not do it.
Oh,
true story. Mm-hmm. The amount of people that I've said, let's take this route. And well, no, because there's that and there's that and there's...
Yeah, watch out for this. There's this issue. And,
yeah. Oh, and then all of a sudden, we've never done the route because no one wants to do it.
Somebody warned me against it.
Yeah. And then you eventually do it and it's like, wasn't that bad?
My limits are way different than their limits.
Mm-hmm. Say, if we knew certain unnamed pond was full of muck instead of water...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm glad maps don't tell us everything. Maps leaves just enough to the imagination, wonder, and true adventure. Which totally leads into... Okay, so the whole thing about this was, are maps becoming a thing of the past? People are relying on their Garmins and their GPSs, whatever brand they've got. They're not actually looking at maps anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They're just like, okay, well, here it is. And as we say with the Google, you can zoom right in And they go, well, yeah, that doesn't look like a lot of fun, and they don't go. But had you actually gone,
yeah,
without the pre-knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
See, my thing is, when it comes to Google Maps, I zoom in. So I know where I'm going, but I'll zoom in just to double check. Like, yeah, that is, because some maps say that's a river that goes through there. But when you look on Google Maps, that river no longer exists.
Oh,
and it's
just
a trail.
Yep.
But if I know there's, if I can see water running, even if I got to walk through it, I'm still going.
Yes.
But yeah, like I say, if all of a sudden you find out the river does no longer exist.
Well, it's fascinating to look at so Google Maps is really good for this. You can't get this kind of weird detail on regular topographical or whatever, but not as easily, not as interestingly with colors. But I find it fascinating to see the way river runs have changed. And so you'll see abandoned sections of a river, and where the course of the river changed, it cut through a corner, a turn, went straight, and then that it bent in that little loop. And I can remember reading stories and hearing stories about somebody building road off the Mississippi, and they're like a mile from the Mississippi, and they're putting in moorings or putting in whatever for a highway, and it's like, hey, we just found a riverboat. What's going on? We're away from the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, back in the 1800s, the Mississippi used to loop through there type thing, right? So it's fascinating to see how much a river can move over time. And you don't really think about it because, well, people generally don't build on the edge of a river like that because it does move so much.
Yeah.
But when you see old photos and you can see the old curves that got abandoned by the river itself, and now it's just a little curvy lake somewheres or whatnot. And it's fascinating to see the changes in the water courses and what you see.
Now, when it comes to the maps, I have, for example, Algonquin Park map. They got to download their canoe route map. I've got to download that's a few years old. And I know, okay, you know what? This looks like a great area. You go from here to here to here to here to here. I should have enough time to do that. From there, now that I got my route planned out, I go to Jeff's map.
Okay, yeah.
And I see, because he's got all these different features on his map, on, okay, well, you can get, there's an old cabin here, there's a waterfall here, there's heron rookeries here. And then I make note on there of what there is to see along the route.
Yeah.
And when I'm out there, I have my map case with a paper map in it, following my route.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
I don't have the Garmin or
correct
electronic GPS with me. I have my compass and I have my map.
I like my paper maps on a route.
Yep.
I don't like having to rely on a phone. The only time that I can think of where we used a phone for mapping and for finding our way was when you're navigating at night and it's like, well, I can't see a thing. Like when we did the Minas Link, we were paddling at like sometimes 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, I know we're in the middle of a lake here, and but where do you think the takeout or where do you think the campsite is? And so I have used my phone at night with pre-downloaded Google Maps and of the area, and it's like, so it's easy to find what you're looking for, because to find a portage sign at 11 o'clock at night with no moon, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I've been in complete whiteout blizzard in a lake, and
really?
I pulled out my map and my compass,
yeah,
and found during the day, I mean, you get the general direction,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
where you,
yes,
need to go.
Yeah. You have
so
an
as
idea.
Long as you're,
yeah,
in, you can make it to that area, mm-hmm, it's easy enough to find the portage sign, right? But yeah, it was a blizzard, just total whiteout, and we're like, oh, okay.
We either wait, yeah, an hour, 2 hour, 5 hours for the snow to go away.
Or we keep battling.
We keep battling and we,
yeah,
and we see if we can make this map and compass thing work.
Yeah, and it did. So apparently I kind of figure I know what I'm doing some of the times.
I've never used the function, but I know my Zaleo does have a mapping function. And depending on where you're going, you have to pre-download it. Mm-hmm. All maps aren't on there. And just as we were talking, I Googled it and looked at the instructions of how to do it. So I think my Zaleo has this. It does have it. I've never used it, but it has a topographical mapping function, and it'll show your progress through an area, so you can know. I don't know. Maybe you're trying to create a new portage somewhere, whatever. You can know where the valleys and the peaks are, and so on. Right?
Yeah.
So it does have that function, but I don't think I'd want to. I wouldn't want to rely on it, because a paper map doesn't run out of batteries, for example. Right?
Yeah.
And so I this is why I prefer to have paper maps, and I generally don't go too far afield off the beaten path. I'm in Temagami or Killarney or Algonquin Park or something, right? So it's pretty clear where you are when you're in those parks. But if I was going to be kind of finding a new route, like David Lee often does, I would probably download some map data on the phone, as well as getting topographicals.
Like I would definitely get the, I'll get the topographicals,
yeah.
But even if you have that paper map and you get lost,
yeah,
sometimes getting lost is half the fun.
True.
Right? Yeah, you're into that adventure thing, right?
Yeah.
Because you can always just backtrack. Oh, yeah, oops. Yeah.
But you can always backtrack. Yeah.
I've never had the opportunity not to.
Years ago, me and a bunch of guys, we're way up north of Sudbury. We were looking for some old Nostawagan portaging routes and stuff. We were trying to find some old portages. And we were deep into bushwhacking. And like I had a canoe over my head. I'm trying to jam it between small trees and stuff, and trying to find a route. And couldn't find it. We eventually found the water we were looking for. Never did find the portage. So that portage disappeared. Like, it was like an old native portage, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was neat to try and find your way, beat your way through the bushes, trying to find these old roots. And it's just fascinating to do stuff like that. It's fun to do stuff like that.
Well, if you go to places like Woodland Caribou and stuff like that, where there's no...
Not a lot of foot traffic.
Looking at old blazes on trees stuff like that for your portages. That's a lot of fun. That takes some extra work. But, yeah, you know, even my truck, I still have a paper map in my truck.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. Yep. So anytime I want, I can whip out that Ontario map and take a peek.
I do have a Backroads, what is it called? Ontario Backroads. It's a spiral-bound map of Ontario. It shows all the back roads.
Do you remember the Perley's Guides?
Oh, yeah.
You used to have the Perley's Guides in the car all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you're going downtown Toronto. Okay, page 5.
Yeah,
and
that
goes over to page 9, which goes over to page 11, which...
Yeah. Or sometimes you'd be like, you're on page 11. It's like, okay, move to page 86.
Right?
What?
Yeah. The good old days. So, yeah, I think that's a skill that I think people need to keep on. I mean, if you're that doubtful,
yeah,
take your GPS with you, but keep it in your pocket. I mean, I did a thing at Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show a few years ago about, leaving electronics behind, or not leaving behind, but not, using them constantly. Bring it with you.
Yeah.
But try going off your paper maps.
Yeah.
And if you're like, oh, wait a minute, I think I goofed up, grab out your electric one going, no, I am actually correct. And then put it back away and continue on with where you're going. I mean, that's the only way people are going to learn.
Yeah.
Right? And you've got that safety net if you need it. But, I mean, are you there to get some adventure while you're out there?
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy just to follow a portage to the next lake, portage to the next lake, portage to the next lake. Follow the signs. It's like connecting the dots. But try going off beaten path a bit with your, do some exploring with a map. Learn it.
And you never know when it's going to be important. For right? example, if there's another Carrington event with a giant solar flare, or some idiot launches a rocket into space, and you end up with these massive collisions in space, and we lose access to orbit for 1,000 years. You never know. You might need to bring some of those paper map skills back.
Right. Good times. Yeah, I'll never get rid of my paper maps. You know Venice.
I am aware of Venice.
It's in Italy.
Never been there.
Why not?
I go camping. I don't travel.
You can camp in Venice.
I don't think you can.
I think you can. It's a floaty type of camping.
Yes, but I think they may arrest you for being a vagrant.
Well, I didn't say that. I just said you could camp. I didn't say for how long or what the conditions would be. There is the Venice of Africa I've found out about. The enchanting lake village of Ganvi. Often referred to as the Venice of Africa, is drawing more tourists than ever with its bamboo and teak stilted houses. Perched on the southern shores of Benin in West Africa, Ganvi stands out with its floating architecture and a maze of canals reminiscent of Venice, the Italy Venice.
Yes.
Despite being continents apart. Boasting a population of 20,000 people, Ganvi holds the title of the largest lake village in Africa, complete with hospitals, schools, churches, and markets, where canoes replace cars as the primary means of transportation.
That's fascinating.
It really, there's videos and everything about it, and it's pretty cool to see it. Since October 31st, 1996, Ganvi has been on the UNESCO World Heritage tentative list, and its residents are affectionately known as watermen. Originating in the 16th and 17th centuries, the Tofinu tribe established Ganvi on stilts to evade capture by Fon and Dahomey Kingdom soldiers who sold prisoners to Portuguese traders. Villagers' ancestors sought refuge on the lake, believing they were safe from their enemies, who feared a dreadful demon lurking beneath the waters. Ganvi's name commemorates this legacy, translating to "We survived," or "I was rescued here," in the local tongue, making a place of historical triumph over adversity.
Hmm.
Interesting, eh?
It is.
The area, known for its remarkable stilted houses, lively floating markets, and rich culture, has started to attract a growing number of tourists eager to engage with the welcoming locals and understanding their lifestyle. Could you imagine your entire, like, every time you want to go somewhere, you got to jump in your canoe?
Yes.
Just like, every day of the year. I'm just going to go to the store, hop into my canoe, and doodly doodly doodly.
Yeah. Got to commute to school, got to commute to work.
Right.
Hop in the boat.
Go fishing.
Yeah.
Hmm. Sounds grand, doesn't it?
It does.
The lake village sees an annual influx of around 10,000 tourists, which is half their population.
I know, right?
Majority of these visitors are day trippers from Abomey or Cotonou. Fishing along with tourism serves as a primary income source for the area. Residents have devised an ingenious method of fish farming that involves herding fish into enclosures created by driving bamboo poles into the lake bed. These poles are then interlaced with palm fronds to form cages.
Now, when we were discussing this earlier, I had to ask you because I didn't know about this. And like, what is going on with the water? Because I went to satellite view and was zooming in and out, and I just couldn't understand what all the squares in the water were. Mm-hmm. It's like, is there something wrong with this satellite photo? It just looked weird.
No, it's just all the fish herders.
Yes, it's all these, like, in the Maritimes, we do similar things where we create these giant pens for lobster because you can, the season for catching lobster is short, but you catch, if you have a large catch, you can put them in the pens and then you pull the lobster out as you need them. Same thing for fish farming here, for fish farming.
Well, even on the west coast too,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, but these are all squares, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Satellite view shows a lot of them.
For many Ganvi inhabitants, the only time they venture to the mainland is to sell their fish or purchase items unavailable in the village. So, yeah, there's videos and everything of this, and, yeah, it's just like nonstop. Like, there's little bits of water, but or land, but it looks like hundreds of little islands with one house or a couple of houses, or, you know. And it makes me wonder how much of that over, you know, the last couple hundred years has been dredged up to build up some land mass.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right? Because, I mean, they escaped out there to live on the water. But you can definitely now see that there is some land mass. Is that because they've dredged up and built it up, or is the water level gone down?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of deal. Densely populated hamlet can trace back to its origins in the 17th century, which, much like today, the region was embroiled in multiple ethnic skirmishes. Story has that Gonville was originally founded by members of the Tofino, keep saying Tofino because, you know.
BC.
Tofino tribe from the coastal areas who fled the fearsome Fon warriors as the latter routinely captured and sold them to Portuguese slave traders. According to local lore, the lake's murky waters were far more than just protective natural barrier, as Fon tribesmen vehemently believed that the devil resides between the confines and thus avoided venturing out onto its expanse for fear of encountering malevolent spirits. Deemed as watermen for their fishing prowess, the Tofinos swiftly adapted to their new home, given that the lake is teeming with fish and crustaceans, which even today remain a major source of livelihood across the communities. And of course, the videos we saw, they were throwing those nets and just hauling
in. Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Over the years, the stilted hamlet was ballooned in size, so much so, in fact, that nowadays people regularly refer to it as the Venice of Africa. 10,000 visitors annually. Gonville receives a mere fraction of the 30 million tourists who visit the Italian counterpart.
30 million
30
people.
Million people visit Italy, Venice. Italy every year.
That's crazy.
Not to mention its lack of basic utilities like access to clean water, electricity, and a sewage system. That was your first question. Well, wait a minute. You got 10,000 people there in little huts and stilts.
Yeah. They're living over
top
water.
They don't have flushing toilets. Yet what this place lacks in grandeur and modern amenities, it more than makes up for in mind-boggling sights to awe at. To get here, one must first take a communal taxi from Église Saint-Michel in the heart of Cotonou to Gonville Boat Station in Albemay, Calavi. Once there, the sole viable option to explore the village is joining a guided tour priced between 3,000 and 10,000 CFA, West African francs, which is the equivalent of $6.75 to $22.50 Canadian. That's not bad for a tour.
Yeah, exactly.
Since local regulations restrict the use of regular boats to residents only. But that's Venice. Is it not Venice where you're not allowed to paddle?
I believe we saw that. You're not allowed to...
And I know Amsterdam, there's only certain times and places. But I think Venice, we had read, was...
Because
there's so many people.
Water travel is so important and critical with commercial travel and so on that they don't want people getting in the way. I'm sure there's been many incidents where somebody gets out there in their own canoe and gets run over and their own kayak gets run over. So, yeah, I do recall reading that somewhere.
And do you really want 10,000 people in boats?
Yeah. Just roaming around.
I mean, we know what it's like here going to Algonquin in the summer, and people that have never canoed before are out there in a canoe.
Yeah.
And you're just shaking your head going, they got no instruction
before
taking that boat out. Could you imagine 10,000 people in these little narrow canals?
Somebody better go rescue that, man.
Somebody from town is just going to have enough and go nuts. So, yeah, if you're out that way... So what I say it was beside Nigeria. Now I'm forgetting what's next to Benin. So it's Nigeria, but it's in Benin. Ghana's there. Ivory Coast.
Yes,
there was something else there too. And Ghana's there. So yeah, it's where I mean, if you look at Africa, it's the big bulge at the top. Yeah, it's right at the bottom of that.
Yeah.
So if you're going to Africa, hit Benin and check out this, because that'd be cool just to go there and toodly do for the day and see how it all runs.
That'll be fascinating, eh?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Excellent. You're making your plans for the summer?
I am, but I try to keep my plans a little bit loose. Try to we've gotten into a mode recently where it was just like, hey, you know what? Let's not plan. Let's count on cancellations, and we'll go what's available.
Yeah, I've done stuff like that where it's just like, I'm just too lazy to book something this far in advance. So what do you want to do in 3 weeks? Well, let's see what's out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
I enjoy that.
So this year, because we've got our big trip we're planning right now, unfortunately, you know, I've got to work for a living, so I get so many limited holiday days. I've come up with a project for myself this summer. The Summer of Paddling Weekends Project.
Paddling Project. Shorten it to something simple.
Summer of Paddling Weekends Project. Sop whoop. S-O-P-W-P. Sop whoop. A whoop ass.
Yeah.
So it's that time of year, like you say, we start looking for paddling plans for the year, but because we got this big trip, we're looking to do 3 weeks in Japan this year. And we're starting to get invites to from different places to go. So I think it's going to be, you know, wife and daughter doing one thing all for 3 weeks, and I'm going to be paddling for 3 weeks. And that's going to go over so well. Trust me. Like I say, unfortunately, I do have to work for a living, so I can't just take oodles of time off to go paddling as much as I'd love to. Time I have less needs to be creatively split between paddling trips and winter camping trips and paddling and outdoor shows. So I've decided to do weekend paddling summer. A WPS.
There, that's a bit simpler.
Whoops. Going to list a bunch of rivers. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to look at the map. Going to list a bunch of rivers that are within 300 kilometer radius of me. And that are decent paddling destinations. Yep. Maybe some will be a bit farther away. Depends, you know, that I've been wanting to check out. And, you know, so you know what? I've always wanted to go there. Yeah, it's an extra 100 kilometer drive, that sort of thing. But I'm gonna start at 300 kilometers and go from there. Then I'm going to choose the ones I think that'll be the best places to paddle and put them in my calendar. That how I do that, I haven't figured out yet. or in what order, I guess I should say. When I'm done, I should have a calendar that goes from May to November. I might, if we get an early spring and like April's nice for paddling, yeah, I'll add that extra month. And the majority of the weekends are going to be filled with at least, well, every weekend's going to be filled with every, at least one day of paddling somewhere new.
Oh, yeah.
That gives me 27 weekends with at least 27 paddling spots. That's May to November, but that excludes August because not here. My paddling spots will be out of that, way out of that 300 kilometer range. But if we can get April in there, that gives me like four more extra weeks. So it could be up to 30 plus weekends. It also gets me a chance to get on the water with different people and paddle areas that are local to them. So, you know, calling up, hey, buddy, I'm heading up your way. Let's get out. Where's a good place to go in this area, that sort of deal. Well, I'm going out for the day Saturday. I'm going to be on the water at this place for 7 a.m. If you want to join me, meet me there, and we're good to go. We'll flip between canoeing and kayaking and maybe even get out on a stand-up paddleboard. I'll have to rent one of those. It's one of the things I don't own.
I have an inflatable one you can borrow.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe I'll just, yeah.
Yeah, just borrow one.
I'm not going to borrow it. I'm just going to steal it. If I can borrow your lawnmower? Whatever happened to my lawnmower? What lawnmower?
What are you talking about?
I don't remember a lawnmower. But yeah, get out and do some stand-up paddleboarding as well. I think it's going to be a pretty neat project.
Keep in mind, so one of the things is when I do loose plans like that, because a lot of my summer camping and so on are last minute, I'd say, and we see what's canceled and who's canceled what. And a lot of the time, what get canceled is because of bad weather. And so it got me thinking, if you want to go to some unique and places you have never been to, if you're looking a week at, when you're looking and say, oh, I got bad weather this weekend, I'm going to go to this inland marsh area that I've always wanted to go to. If it's going to be nice weather, oh, I wanted to do Georgian Bay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so...
Well, it's definitely going to be... I'm not writing everything in pen.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be... Yeah. You have to be flexible and stuff like that. Because
there's a lot of places, like, in so marshy inland waterways, like Bonneville Marsh. It's fun to do in the rain is because you've got all the reeds and a lot of the animals come out in the rain, like you see more turtles and stuff like that. So it's a lot more fun to be out there in the rain and in an inland area in a marsh and so on. Like your Duffin's Creek, where you go, that'd be nice in the rain.
Yeah.
It's a nice sheltered area.
I paddled that one way too much.
It's an example because you know it. That's why I use it as an example.
No, and that's exactly what it's going to be. I'm going to have all these things, and then at the end of the summer, like in fall, I'm going to have all these places that I paddled. It's like, you know what? I like this one. I like that one. I like this one. I like that one. And go
do
from
a
there.
Photo montage.
And I mean, if you know me, you know I have no problems getting up at 3 a.m., be on the road by 4, on the road at sunrise. Paddle and explore all day long until the sun goes down, load up the paddle, craft, whichever one I'm using, on the truck, in the truck, as it's getting dark, and then hit the road.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, I've done that before, gone up, oh yeah, we're going to be on this lake paddling up in Algonquin. We're camping there for the weekend. Okay, well, I'll be there on first light. I'm going to paddle in to meet you guys, paddle around for the day, have something to eat, paddle back out. Get back to my truck just as the light's going down, throw the canoe on, and boogie on home in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a full day, but...
Exactly. But you know, in the end, it's rewarding.
It is. I think it's going to be a fun summer of paddling. And like I say, it's out of all the paddling I didn't get to do this past summer, I think this is going to make up for it. But if I can get at least 40 to 50 paddling spots in between April and... November.
That'd be amazing.
Right? Might even get you out on a couple.
That would be good. I'd like that. Right? Yep.
I wouldn't necessarily like it, but I'm just trying to be nice.
You're an empty nester, so you have the time, but I don't always have the time because the kids have swimming on the weekends and there's so much stuff going on. So,
well, let me put it to you this way. If we're going to go out paddling, whichever one's got swimming lessons, bring them along. Oh, you can't get in the canoe. Swim. This is your swimming lessons.
Tie the rope to the life jacket.
Right? Swim faster, you fool. We're not going fast enough. That's their paddle pulling us along. Yeah. Oh, that'd be great.
Swim faster. Swim faster.
And we're paddling backwards.
Mush.
Oh, 5 or 6 kids out front pulling your canoe.
Yeah.
And all you're doing is steering.
Yeah.
That's got to be some sort of business model.
I wonder if you could train salmon to do that.
It's like a dog sled, but with fish in a canoe. Anyway, so that is my summer paddling project.
That sounds awesome.
That's going to be my thing this year because, like I say, I mean, and some of them, maybe I go somewhere, stay the night somewhere, and then paddle somewhere else up that destination. Yep. Like if I'm driving 5 hours, then maybe I paddle somewhere all day, find a place to stay, then the next day hit another spot, and then head home sort of deal, right? Oh, potential.
I'm sure there's lots of areas on the Tread Severn you haven't seen yet. And
there's a couple of them.
We've talked about some marshy parks down on Lake Erie.
And Point Beely and Point Long Bailey, Point and all that, lots of spots down there. The Grand, going to go to the Grand. Yes. There's the St. Clair River even. Out by Mikey. Go out see our buddy Mikey.
There you go.
But, yeah, I mean, I'd already talked about him. Get out there and solo trip there. Him and his canoe with Willow, his dog.
Exactly.
Me and my canoe with Athena. Let the two bark at each other and their fool heads off. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I can join up and I can bring a cat.
You got a cat. I got 2 cats. I got a water cat. It's not as funny as you think because I've seen.
I've seen it,
people
too.
Do that.
I've seen it a lot. Well, Marion and Dwayne Sontag, Bruce the camping cat.
Bruce the camping cat.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a bit about paddling permits and lotteries.
Yes. Reservations for camping.
February 1st, the National Park Service began accepting applications for non-commercial river trip permits to raft the Colorado River through the Grand Canyon National Park for specific launch dates within the calendar year of 2026. So if you want to go paddling through the Grand Canyon next year,
it's too late.
You better have put your name. Total of 450 permits are available for 12 to 25 day river trips. Eligible individuals may apply online at the weighted lottery website, grcariverpermits.nps.gov. Applications will be accepted online through noon Mountain Standard Time on Tuesday, February 25th.
Yep, you have another 2 weeks.
So you got a few weeks to go. Each year in February, Maine Lottery is held to assign launch dates for river trips occurring the next year. Public notifications regarding Maine Lotteries are made by both email and news release. In addition to the annual Maine Lottery, follow-up lotteries are held as needed throughout the remainder of the year to reassign canceled or unassigned launch dates. Public notifications for these follow-up lotteries are made by email. Weighted lottery website can be accessed year-round to create or modify an account and to sign up to receive email notifications. Individuals who are interested in a future non-commercial river permits. Now, non-commercial means you're not on a guided trip.
Correct. It's self-guided.
Yeah. Are encouraged to create an account. Lottery applications are accepted through the weighted lottery website only when lotteries are open. Must be 18 years of age and older to apply for a river trip permit. So all those five-year-olds are not going. Individuals may participate on a maximum of one recreational river trip per year, commercial or non-commercial. So if you get invited to six different trips to the Grand Canyon, you got to turn five of them down.
Yeah, or change your name.
That's crap. Individuals interested in professionally guided river trips should not apply through the lottery, but instead request space on a commercial trip. More information about the 2026 Maine Lottery, visit the Grand Canyon National Park website at nps.gov/GRCA.
I can't imagine the complications with doing it this way. Like, I understand why they do it, because it's in high demand.
Mm-hmm.
But can you imagine, like, if I'm going to be booking a trip here, I'm going to book it at like a 5 month, 3 months, 2 months, a week out, whatever. But for the Grand Canyon, because it's so popular that it's a draft lottery. And for example, hey, you just won the draft for the second and third week of June 2026. Hey, boss, can I have this time off?
No.
Work it out with your other 18 coworkers because y'all are trying to compete for time off in the summer, and June's a popular time off mm-hmm. in vacation period. It's like, hey, everybody, does anybody have any issues with me having this time off?
But in still, some of these lotteries, if you doesn't mean just because you enter doesn't mean you're getting something.
No, so you might could, get nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you could enter 7 years in a row yeah. and never win.
It's like going in the lottery for like a moose tag or a deer tag. It's mm-hmm. like, yeah, you might get one.
But I know they have the weighted lottery for that. So,
so now yeah. I wonder, I just thought of it now. So if you win the lottery, are you able to, because you're not going to go solo, are you winning the lottery for a group of like...
I think you have to put down your dates and your...
And numbers. Of
numbers.
Group numbers. So yeah. if it's you and three other people that are going on, want to do the trip, you say, hey, sometime in the latter part of June in 2026, four people. And so I guess that's a way all four people can apply for the lottery. And if one is wins, that's a group.
Yeah.
It's not a guided trip. It's just a
it's your group.
It's just a group trip. Yeah. So it's four chances to go. I'd have to look it up. I wonder if it works that way.
Yeah. So that's happening now.
Mm-hmm. Like
this,
right now.
This past weekend.
Yeah.
However.
Oh yes.
The Boundary Waters permits mm-hmm. went online. All of a sudden I started seeing a whole bunch of posts about it.
Oh, yeah?
Seems to be some unhappy people, computer glitches, filling out their forms and their infos, and the system freezes when submitting, and they have to redo just to find out the permits that they were filling out for are now gone.
Are now gone because the system crashed or something.
Yep. Others had the systems freeze and then did finally accept their booking, so they're like, woohoo. New people not realizing how fast the permits go. People not getting the exact permits they wanted. Entry point has one permit per day, so luck of the draw.
Wait.
Some entry points?
Yeah.
Only one permit a day.
Really?
Yeah. So one group can leave per day.
Huh. Wow.
Right?
Isn't that something?
So you're we're going to go in Friday. No, you're going in Saturday.
So
nope, you're going in Sunday.
I assume they do that because on the route, it's like maybe a day or half a day to the first designated campsite.
So you're not bunging everybody up. Nobody's fighting. Yeah, nobody's.
Somebody's like, I have to go 6 to 8 hours just to find a campsite. So yeah, I can see where it could be complicated.
Yeah. People asking how all permits for a certain entry point could all be gone so fast within the first few minutes after 9 a.m. opening. So by like 9:05, every permit for the entire paddling season is gone.
Yes. Yeah.
How? Like one group's allowed to leave per day.
How?
So if you got 60 days, how can 60 permits be gone in less than 5 minutes?
It's incredible.
Right?
So that's
Ticketmaster, baby. Have you ever been trying to get tickets?
Well, it reminds me of like booking swim times for swim lessons for the kids, right? Because that's hard to get. That's hard to do.
Yeah. And
so depending on the local pool you're going to, it's like, boom, like booking opens at 7 o'clock at 7:05. Oh, I guess I'm down to private lessons now at a very high expense.
Yes. No, it happens. And again, like I say, some have to delay entry till the next day on their planned trip, so they're going Saturday instead of Friday. Otherwise, they just, if they don't want to go the Saturday, then they're not getting in at all.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely have to be flexible when it comes to the dates. But there was also a lot of woohoos, got the permits I wanted comments as well. And if you are hitting that Boundary Waters permit site, be prepared for heartache.
Hmm. Yes.
Hope for the best, expect the worst. Or is it expect the worst, hope for the best?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, everything out there is popular now. Like we've seen,
Boundary Water seems to have really picked up.
It's really picked up. It's a beautiful area.
Yeah,
and if you look at anything now, there's a lot of. So during COVID, when a lot of people just trying to get out and do things, a lot of the U.S. national parks were having time of day permit entries.
Yep.
So you're booking a hike to some falls somewhere in Zion National Park, whatever, I don't know. And it's like, well, you have to take the 10 o'clock slot because everything else is booked. And you have to book ahead. You can't show up.
You can't just show up going up.
Yeah. And so they're doing that again for not all national parks in the U.S., but for quite a few of them. The ones that are super popular, it's timed entries.
Yeah. Yep. So if you were on this past weekend, if you got online for 9 a.m. and got the permit you wanted, congratulations. Mm-hmm. If you didn't get the permit you wanted,
try again next year.
Keep going because they do have, they said there was a massive amount of cancellations throughout the summer.
So
keep on.
Yeah.
Keep on keeping on.
Yeah.
Right. Keep looking because we do that with Algonquin. Like, you know, I'm going to Mew Lake for Halloween or New Year's or Family Day.
Yeah, it's stuffed and up. It's booked.
You can't get a spot, but you keep looking every few days and, oh, look, all of a sudden there's a spot.
Exactly.
Like right now, all the spots are in the, any spots for like Family Day seem to be in the dog free area.
Okay.
Kind of sucks if you have a camping dog.
Yep.
But.
Well, for Sandbanks, we like to go. We usually go to Sandbanks for Thanksgiving, and we'll go car camping Thanksgiving Sandbanks, and like last year, it was a rainy weekend, and so every time we biked or walked around the park, it was like, oh, there's like 50% capacity, but it was jammed when it was come to reservations.
Right.
So
it's amazing how much. How many people
get chased away by the weather?
Chased away by the weather.
Yeah. Well, if it's not sunny, I'm not going.
Yeah.
It's like we go. We still go. We enjoy. You know what? It's fun in the rain. I like the sound of rain on a tent, and I love walking in the rain. It's, I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
I remember coming out of Bice Lake. Was that with Mackenzie or Ariana? I think it was Mackenzie. And there was a couple coming down the lake behind us. They weren't that far behind. And we were in line. We were second in line at the takeout.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a group there taking out. And when they got out, there was a group in front of us starting to take out. Then there was me. And this couple came up. They had a couple kids. One was a baby who was not happy. It was raining, lightly raining.
Go ahead.
But that baby was
not happy.
And you could see the look on mom and dad. They just had enough at this point. I just looked at them. Go on ahead of me. And they said, are you sure? I said, been there, done that. I don't think I've ever seen anybody get across a portage so fast. You could tell they had just had enough.
Yeah.
You know, hey, no, we can take the kids and they get used to it. And yeah, the kids, not the baby.
Yeah.
The baby did not get used to it. Yeah. It's one of those things you wonder what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
Are they still going out? Did they give it another whirl?
Are they still married?
Are they still married? Did they leave that kid with grandma and grandpa?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, yeah. The rain is part of the fun.
It is. I enjoy it.
You know, I mean, yeah. Not a blistering thunderstorm. Mind you.
That could be fun.
Because Tracy and I had that on her first trip to Damag. I
mean, minus lightning.
There was lightning and thunder and hail.
Yeah.
We got a tarp up just before the skies went berserk.
Yeah.
And yeah, we got video of hail coming down, lightning flat, and the rain's just pounding down. And like 20 minutes earlier, it was just overcast.
Yeah.
Where did this come from?
What's going on?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the weather just chases so many people away, you know, which isn't, I mean, if you're doing one of those trips that are base camp.
Oh, yeah.
So you go in Four Lakes, you set up base camp for a few days, and then you come out Four Lakes, right?
Yep.
So you get wet on going in. But then you're sitting under a tarp, you're relaxing around the fire.
Exactly.
Maybe you don't want to be sitting under the tarp, but it's better than sitting at home in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? In front of the TV. Right? So
you bring the TV into the campground with you.
Yeah, carry the TV in back with you. And then you realize, oh, wait, there's nowhere
there's
to plug
no
it in.
There's no power. Where's my satellite thing? Where's the Wi-Fi password?
Well, that's always been my thing at work, right? Like, where I go on my trips, it's not like I can just go grab the Yogi Bear phone from the tree and call into work.
Yeah.
Hey, boo-boo, pass me the telephone. Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Well, it might be starting to work that way with the way iPhone and stuff's going.
Blah, 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 blah. I don't want to hear it. Blah, 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 blah.
It's becoming a lot easier to access. Some British guy did a satellite phone call. Was it video call or was it just a phone call? Anyways, it was a first of a kind. It was a first of a kind communication from off grid, off signal area by satellite. And it was quite successful with his setup. And so, yeah. So go Brits. But yeah, but stuff like that's changing with satellite technology and easier access to, you know, uplinks and so on. Mm-hmm. It's changing.
Ariana climbed a mountain in Japan and we FaceTimed.
Oh,
it's like, oh my, like, how are you getting that signal there?
They have Wi-Fi on every mountain.
Right? As far as I could see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Outdoor shows are coming up. Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show is coming up. The Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show, the International Center, February 21st to 23rd. I will be there speaking. Are you coming both days? Well, it's 3 days. I never go the Friday because, you know, work.
Probably just Saturday.
Are you going to go Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
So get your tickets now. You can buy in advance or get a weekend pass for like $20 plus tax. Tickets are $17. Get them online in advance or pick them up when you're there. There is also not only the Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show. There's also the Vancouver version, March 1st and 2nd, the Calgary version, March 29th and 30th, and the Montreal version, March 22nd and 23rd.
Hmm.
Yeah, you can find out info on all of them at outdooradventureshow.ca.
Yeah, we often forget about expanding our horizons for other people, because people from all over the...
It's all about me, dude.
Yeah, people everywhere listen to the show, so we should be expanding our horizons for people.
Quiet Adventure Symposium, East Lansing, Michigan at the MSU Pavilion, March 1st. Tickets $13 in advance or $20 at the door. Again, we will be there. Yes. We are considered a demonstration exhibit.
Yeah, they had to explain
we're
to
a demonstration sport.
Don't panic. We made you a demonstration exhibit.
Yeah, we're a demonstration. So if you want to see what it's like doing what we do,
there you go.
Come over and see what we do.
We're on full display.
Right? We're going to have chicken wire. Don't feed them.
Yes.
we're going to have a box of donuts that you can buy and feed your podcaster a donut. more information, quietadventures.org. It's actually quite a good show. That's
it
sure.
is. It's one of my favorites.
Canucopia, Madison, Wisconsin at the Alliant Energy Center, March 7th to 9th. $16 a day or $32 for a weekend pass. So basically you save $16.
We're not going to that one. Or at least I'm not.
No, I'm not going to that one too. Like I say, leftover holidays and stuff like that are slim.
Time is limited.
Yes. More information, go to rutabaga.com. There's the Ottawa Outdoor Adventure Travel Show, Nepean, Ontario, the Nepean Sportsplex, April 26th to 27th. Free admission, free parking, adventureottawa.ca to check out that one. It's not a massive show, but there's still enough there to go and check out.
Yeah.
Then there is the Paddle Sports Show.
You have really expanded the list.
Strasbourg, France. Le Parc de Exposition de Strasbourg. Huh? Huh? Does that sound like almost professional?
No.
Okay. September 20th, October 2nd. More information, thepaddlesportsshow.com.
We should go to that one.
Right? Get back from Japan. Hey, by the way, I need a ticket to Strasbourg.
Hey, boss, I need 2 weeks off.
Yeah, I need a couple weeks off to go to France now. Do you actually still work? Not if I can help it.
Hey, I don't work when I'm here anyways.
So those are the upcoming shows that you might want to check out. Like I say, we're going to be at the Toronto Outdoor Adventure Show. I'll be there Saturday, and I usually show up Sunday and just wander around aimlessly. And if you see us at any of these shows, stop and chat.
Yeah, say hi.
Right? Even Derek, he doesn't bite much.
No, not much.
You know, just stop and say hello. Hey, how you guys doing? Love your podcast. And ask us questions or tell us where you're from and what kind of paddling you do, that sort of deal. Whatever. Mm-hmm. We're good. We're easy. We just like to talk. We like to yabber.
Yammer.
Yabber and babble. Yammer. Babble. Oh, babble.
Palaver.
Yeah. Yeah. We like to talk. Yeah. That's what we do. Some days. We can do it forever.
We do tend to. Well, it shocked me, actually. You at the Hamilton show. You got talking so much.
Oh, you just never shut up.
I wandered off. It's like, I can't.
Let me off this ride.
I just slipped off into the crowd.
Now, you did the old Irish goodbye. Turn around and you're gone. I was at a punk rock show on Friday night.
Oh, yeah?
And went to one of my buddies there that was there. And chit-chatting, all right, this is great. And, you know, you get out of the mosh pit there, and this is good. And the show's over, and turn around. Where the hell did he go? So I seen him yesterday. What happened to you Friday night? Oh, I just did the Irish goodbye.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're just chatting forever saying your goodbye.
Exactly, yeah.
Gone.
I prefer the Irish goodbye.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Slip off into the crowd. Where'd Derek go? Well, I don't know.
We had him shot. threw him in the dumpster out back. Why do you ask?
We're taking a taxidermy course.
Yeah. That's all I got. You got anything else?
I do not.
Oh, you slacker.
I never do.
You should.
I'm just happy to be here.
Oh, so you can throw that paper out now.
Oh, the marked up one?
Yeah. We mark up papers on our desk that we have all our notes on to remember from week to week to week.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it changes. And the stuff that was on that paper is no longer.
You have multiple. There's a yellowish paper, a thin, thick paper, and there's a 20-pound paper, 10-pound paper. There's a...
Do I look like a paper guy? Is this a joke to you? Thanks for the neon haze, buddy.
Yes, it was very good.
I think there's one more flavor in there. I can't remember what it is. And there's a thing of Sapporo beer in there, too.
Oh, yes?
They're dark stuff.
Oh, yes. Yes, I picked some of that up, too.
Yeah, yeah. So we got 2 more weeks of beer before you got to buy more beer.
Mm-hmm. I have to go visit that place, whatever it's called. Monty's.
Monty's.
It just passed into my brain.
That's the way it does, man.
If I try to think of something or remember something, it doesn't work. I have to walk away and let it just kind of stroll through my mind. This wandering homeless person is like, oh, yeah, Monty's, that's it. Oh, yes.
Derek has a wandering homeless person going through his mind.
His name is Neil Tyson.
Bert. Alrighty. Well, if you want to find out more information about us, you can find us at paddlingadventuresradio.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We're one of them YouTubers. Download or stream all our episodes on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, iHeartRadio, Player FM, and all your favorite podcast downloading sites. Or just go to the episode page at paddlingadventuresradio.com and you can stream or download all 468 episodes there.
Ooh.
468.
I know. It's a lot.
Good Lord.
I know. It's too much.
Yeah. If you enjoy the podcast, please share it with your friends, family, and fellow paddlers. I want to thank everybody for listening this week. I'm Sean Rowley.
And I'm Derek Specht. We'll see you next time.